Here, the old gods are dead.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hiya, this is the Creepy Wee Podcast. I'm Rebecca with Liam.
Hi.
Welcome to this ASMR episode of the Creepy Wee Podcast. Me and Liam have no life updates, so this is the intro. Liam's going to start cutting soap.
wait, what?
The way that we had no idea how that will sound until I'm editing it.
Yeah, it's going to be like. you saw the Elvis movie?
I did. So pop culture update. I seen Elvis the movie, and I am someone who was obsessed with Elvis as a child. Any other girlies or gays have an Elvis phase when they were like 5 till they were 10? Just me? Okay. But I went
the silence
like
was deafening.
Very aware of the fact that Elvis is not brilliant, but still, I thought I was really nervous to go because I didn't care if it was going to be shit or not, because I'd seen clips of Austin Butler, the guy that plays
that
Elvis.
Accent.
Uh-huh. And he's still stuck in his Elvis accent. I'm no about method acting whatsoever. Like, I think it's stupid. But that being said, when I went to see it, I was so surprised at how good he was. Like, I cried for an hour.
And wait, I read something earlier that apparently he like punched Ezra Miller in the face or something.
Good for him then. Give Austin Butler and an Oscar
give him the
win.
Oscar.
The Academy will love him for that. Just as long as you're no Will Smith, you can do that.
Oh. I mean, no, but it's true. You can do so much worse and still win awards.
Yeah. No, but I cried for like an hour, and his voice, as cringy as it is in real life, is kind of good in the film. And the music's good, obviously. Casey Musgraves cover, I Can't Help Falling in Love with You, is so good. But I like literally couldn't even drive my car home. I feel like I'm like that every time I go to the cinema, though. I'm like, this is the best film I've ever seen. Like, I'll never be the same. And then I'll go and see like a chick flick and it'll be the exact same. I'm like,
yeah,
wow,
it's just
a film has never been this good.
Like, I will go see the Barbie movie and I will say, this has changed my life. Like, it will be better than Everything Everywhere All at Once. I'm saying it now. And that's, like, a high bar for me. Like, that's one of the best films I've seen in a while. Because it's the most recent one I've seen.
Because I had went to see Everything Everywhere All at Once, cried at that, cried massively again and at the Elvis film. And my girlfriend was like, are you like this all the time in the cinema? Like, do you just cry at every film you watch? And I was like, maybe I do. Like, maybe I just see, like, such an emotional reaction to the cinema. Perhaps I should start a film podcast too.
Did you cry when you saw Twilight in the cinema?
Yeah. Yup.
Yep.
I cried when I still watch it. Yup. When I went to the midnight premiere of Breaking Dawn Part 2 and I got to see the whole run of the Twilight Saga before midnight. That was a brilliant experience. And I think they should do that again for the 10th anniversary of Breaking Dawn Part 2. Because yes. I'll be there. Wait, like, I didn't watch it on Netflix, like, every That's fucking day. Soon. I know That's... it's soon. It's probably in, like, what, 2014 when Breaking Dawn came out?
Oh, my God. I'm Crypt Keeper. Wait.
Any other news?
We've mentioned two Jamie Lee Curtis movies at this point in this episode.
And she will get more.
It's about the trauma.
It's about the trauma. The trauma.
The trauma.
Speaking of trauma, do you hear anything you want to talk about?
Yeah. So today I was like doing some training and stuff in Edinburgh for like some sales stuff. And I made the bus to the train station just as it arrived, the train to Glasgow just as it arrived, and then the subway to my flat just as it arrived. And I literally felt like I had like just shot up like adrenaline or something. Like I was shaking when I got off that subway. And then I had to run upstairs to like set up for the podcast. But I sat down and had a mental health burrito while I was waiting.
The
a single one hot chip.
Should have put the mental health Dorito picture on our story. I was going to, I did a whole photo shoot waiting for Liam to come. And like, set might post.
Yeah,
might show off my new
rushing
botched bleach job that I did.
The white hair. The I promise I'll be white next time hair.
When Liam sees me at home, when I thought he would not get to see my, I've been like telling him like, oh my god, like it looks, my hair looks yellow on camera, but like I swear it's white when I'm actually going to be seeing him on Thursday.
There will be receipts.
Well, the last couple of episodes that we've done, we've no done a spooky haul. So I thought I would give you a wee tease of what we're going to be doing in our next episode. So this is a wee ghost story that Carlin sent in, and I quote, "I'm a wee bit of a spooky bitch, but here are my creepiest stories." She sent three. This is the first one.
Answer me.
Oh, I love this. I'm a wee bit of a spooky bitch. All right. The first was when I was working my first job after I qualified as a nurse. Love the NHS. I moved to Edinburgh to work in the Sisters of the Poor care home. I thought it would... I thought it would be all Sound of Music, but it was more like a Netflix documentary. You fought for that name. It was going to be like the Sound of Music. Anyway, the top floor was kind of the walking wounded, and they would come down to the ground floor for meals, but there was a lady not feeling well, so I went up with her lunchtime medication. Halfway along the corridor, I bent down to tie my lace and got instant prickles on my neck, and I saw a faint black shadow shoot past me at high speed. I ran into the women's room and ran away back down. I casually asked the night shift nurse if anyone ever sees ghosts here. Apparently a ghost of a nun is always seen around the time someone dies, and she had seen it a few nights before. What is that called when someone like something like appears before like death, like an omen?
A harbinger
of death.
That's scary. That's
I know. Scary. I just didn't like a ghost nun. How many times are we going to talk about the film Nun on this podcast? Might watch.
Who is it? Thaisa Farmiga or something that is in that?
Her from American Horror Story. Yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah, queen. It is her.
Violet! You're all I want! You're all I have!
Go away!
Queen.
No, but ghost nuns, not something that I've seen, nor something that I do want to see, but... Just thought I would share that ooky spooky story because one, it gave me the creeps, and two, next episode we're going to be doing, similar to like our Stirling Castle ghosts episode, we're going to be doing ghosts at Edinburgh Castle or Edinburgh, whatever we decide today, the night before we record.
No, because we're laughing, but it's true.
This episode's basically, it's the inspiration behind one of my favourite folk songs. you'll guess by the title, but we'll take a wee break and then I'll come back and I'll tell you about McPherson's rant.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I thought I'd preface this episode by talking about the Scottish traveller community and their culture a wee bit. There are actually a group of travellers that are indigenous to the Highlands of Scotland. In Gaelic, they are known as Luach Siúil. I think I'm saying that right.
I've heard that before, so I think that's...
Yeah, one. I did consult and got sent a voice note before I said that, so hopefully it's right. So essentially that means people of travel. This distinct ethnic group is commonly called Tinkers, which has kind of been turned into a derogatory nickname, Tink. And yeah, this derives... Yeah, it's kind of turned into a slur. The actual origin of the word comes from the Gaelic for tinsmith, which is tinkered.
Why?
I assume it'll be the what people used to work on. So, like, oh, this group of people were, like, known for being tinsmiths. So that... Yeah. Yeah. So the Highland Traveller community has a long history in Scotland, which goes back to the 12th century, roughly. They share a similar heritage, although are distinct from Irish travellers. As with their Irish counterparts, there are several theories regarding their origin. So Scottish Highland Travellers are thought to either be descended from Picts, or families who travelled to flee the Norman invasion, or later, families who were fleeing the Highland potato famine. So these are all reasons for
there
the origin
of
these
potato
people.
Famine?
Yeah, and we'll cover it. It's like it's kind of tied in. It's kind of like similar to how the Great Famine in Ireland caused like a mass exodus of people. The Highland potato famine and the Highland clearances kind of go hand in hand as to why so many people left and emigrated away from Scotland. So these kind of things like go hand in hand. So Highland travellers are distinct both culturally and linguistically from other traveller groups like the Romani. They even have their own distinct language that, although even near extinct, it's kind of like a Creole Scots Gaelic.
That makes sense. That's a good description.
Yeah. As an indigenous group, Highland travellers have played an essential role in the preservation of traditional Gaelic culture, and it is estimated that there is as few as 2,000 Highland travellers that continue to lead traditional lifestyle on the roads. One of the most famous Highland travellers was a singer and poet named Belle Stewart, and she put loads of like her own experiences as a traveller into song, and you can find them on YouTube if you're interested. So, what does the Scottish traveller community have to do with this episode? As I said, I wanted to talk about one of my favourite Scottish folk songs, which is McPherson's Rant, and the outlaw who's behind the story. His name's Jamie McPherson, and McPherson was born in 1675, the illegitimate son of the McPherson clan in Invernessshire, to a Highland laird and a Scottish traveller woman. And as much as I would like for this to be like cool, and that these two stay together for the kids, and that they break down like social barriers and stuff, that is not the case. But surprisingly, Jamie was actually acknowledged by his father, and he was raised in the McPherson clan household. I think like a lot of people here like have perspective where like clan systems were like battling each other, and like they were like rugged like people who like lived off the land and stuff like that. Not true. Like most of them had like a lot of money. Like they were like lairds and or lords and had like big households. So Jamie would have been raised with like, it would have been like a decent living. He had money coming to his ears. But Jamie's dad would actually die trying to retrieve stolen cattle for raiders. And then Jamie was placed back in the care of his mother and the group that she travelled the Highlands with. McPherson and his mum would often visit the McPherson clansmen though, and they would give him clothes and money. And due to his early life within the clan, he had obviously received an education. He trained as a swordsman, and apparently he was incredibly strong. Some people allude that he was superhumanly strong, kind of like Popeye or something was like what they're trying, like they were trying to say that
spinach,
like
spinach, and he was like, oh, see here.
But like there's even like a hang talking about like his bones being bigger than, I don't know, they kind of made him like sound like a giant or something. It was a bit weird because of Jamie's life, and it's so like intertwined with folklore, and it's kind of like the Scottish Robin Hood, which is what people either say about him or Rob Roy MacGregor, who was another outlaw that was living at this time. But they're kind of like, there's myths surrounding these people. I don't think he was like superhumanly strong, but he was an expert fiddle player.
Is a Rob Roy a drink?
Yeah, Rob Roy is a drink. What is it? I'm going to Google that. Yeah. Rob Roy. Oh, no, not you, Rob the drink. Roy drink. Scotch whiskey, sweet vermouth, and Angostura bitters. That sounds shite.
Oh, I was about to say it sounds good. I would drink that.
Is that not like quite similar to an old fashioned?
Yeah, but
it's got vermouth in it though.
Sounds like you would just smell like methylated spirits, which I love. Like you would smell.
I really
like
hooch, so I like hooch and I like beer. So I wouldn't be drinking that. Anyway, where did I get to? So Jamie's expert swordsman, massively strong. He's an expert fiddle player. Jamie grew up to become a robber and outlaw with his own band, but according to one writer, no act of cruelty or robbery of the widowed, the fatherless, or the distressed was ever perpetrated under his command. Don't know what the source for that was, but this is like kind of where the comparison to Robin Hood comes from, except he wasn't really like robbing for the rich to give to the poor. I suppose he was the poor. He was robbing for himself.
You're like run-of-the-mill average girl boss, if you ask me.
Yeah, get him on Love Island. It's alleged actually that a member of Jamie's band wanted to rob a gentleman's house whilst the corpses of the man's wife and daughter lay on the byre waiting for interment. So like during this time, if anybody died in the household, obviously you would keep them in the household for a wake and stuff, but they had these things called corpse roads. Aye, so like this man's wife and daughter, their bodies are like lying out on the byre, and I assume covered in sheets, and they're waiting for like a like the person with the wagon to come and collect their corpses. So Jamie and his band are out there and they're like waiting to see, and then Jamie sees like the bodies in front, and he's like, we're no robbing this house, like that's disgusting. And there's a member of his band who like really wanted to commit like this kind of savage act. Jamie said no, and then eventually this man, we'll call him Judas, goes on to portray Jamie to the authorities and local lairds. So Macpherson had made enemies of the rich lairds and farmers of Banff and Aberdeenshire, especially Duffy Braco, who, if Jamie's like Robin Hood, then this man's like the Sheriff of Nottingham. Duffy Braco organises a posse to capture Jamie, and he says that Jamie has been holding the counties of Aberdeen, Banff and Murray in fear for some years. Macpherson was actually captured several times, but he always escaped. In Aberdeen, his cousin Donald and another traveller named Peter Brown, aided by townsfolk, rescued Jamie from prison.
Like, I love how they just have the names of just some guys. Like,
yeah, I know.
Donald and Peter.
I didn't even like the way that like I was like looking at like my source here is like a Scotsman article. And then obviously I went to the Wikipedia, and like if you write in a Wikipedia article and you say it is alleged, the people on Wikipedia will go, by who? And they'll literally write it like in the article being like, citation needed, by who? What do you mean? It's kind of like an English teacher's like writing on it with red pen, just like in a kind of snidey way.
No, the other day I wrote something and I said altered, and then my lecturer sent me an email back saying how. Like that's she just underlined it and went, how?
How? Anyway, so he's rescued by the townsfolk and by his cousin and a random man called Peter Brown. Shortly afterward, he was again captured, but once more rescued, this time by the Laird of Grant, who would become Jamie's kind of like, I don't know, like knight in shining armour almost. And he's like one of the Lairds that like him. Like, yeah, well, there's none here about like Jamie having a girlfriend, so...
No one said they weren't gay.
Point. So we'll say... They kissed.
We rewrote Scottish history.
Queer in Scottish history.
The point of this podcast is to rewrite in queer Scottish history.
Macpherson's career of robbery had culminated in a reign of terror in the markets of Banff, Elgin and Forres. And apparently he was getting quite cocky when he was under the protection of the Laird of Grant. And his bandy followers would come marching in on raids on the markets, and they would hear a piper at the head who would be like playing the bagpipes as they like stormed in. Kind of
so
cool.
He was gay because he wanted to.
It sounds
camp. Yeah.
I thought that sounded quite cool though. I would like to ken what song they were piping. Any guesses I would like to hear?
Probably Believe by Cher or something. If I know gay people.
So at the St. Rufus Fair in Keith, Macpherson was attacked by Braco's men, and he was captured after a fierce fight in which one of Jamie's crew was killed. Yes. But according to the traditional account, which was actually penned by Jamie himself, a woman was stood in a windy above him and dropped a blanket on his head, so he couldn't like get his sword out in time, and he couldn't get like the blanket off him. He was like,
"Not the Three Stooges."
So like he like was disarmed before he could get free, and Duff and a very strong escort then took him to Banff prison. During this time in Scotland, it was an offence to be, quote, an Egyptian, which was a name at the time for a traveller, and it's where the word gypsy comes from, I think.
Really?
They've got the, like, it's done on his criminal, like, on, like what he gets arrested for, like, that, like, document. It says, like, the crime of being an Egyptian.
Why Egyptian?
I don't know. Should I? This is something that I should have.
How?
Gypsies were originally thought to have come from Egypt, and some of the earliest references to them in English dating back to the 16th century call them Egyptians. Early European references describe wandering nomadic communities who were known for their music and their skill with horses. So that's where the word gypsy comes from. It comes from Egyptian.
You're a good reader.
Right, thanks.
I could never have done that.
Thanks. I mean, it helps that I'm doing a podcast. So... it's a crime at this time in Scotland, and it was under this statute that Macpherson was tried in November 1700. Macpherson and others were brought to trial at Banff before Nicholas Dunbar, the Sheriff of Banffshire, who was an alleged close friend of Duff Braco on the 8th of November 1700. Macpherson was sentenced to death by hanging.
Oh.
For being a traveller. No for like any like crimes today with like his robbing or anything like that. And it's also like lairds during this time were able to like serve justice basically. So like they could like arrest people and they could execute people. That was within their power. Whilst Jamie was jailed before his execution, he is said to have composed a song which is now known as Macpherson's Lament or Macpherson's Rant. and I'll read a wee bit of it. I'll read my favourite bit. Imagine I started singing it.
I was born in a wagon of a train. Right.
Oh, what is death but parting breath? Oh, money's the bloody plain. I dared his face, and in this place I scorn him yet again. Say rantingly, say wantonly, and say dantingly gaed he. He played a tune and he danced around below the gallows tree. According to Walter Scott, Macpherson, the talented fiddle player that he was, got his fiddle out below the gallows and sang this song that he wrote. After playing it, he offered his fiddle to his clansmen to play at his wake, and nobody came forward to play it. So Macpherson takes the fiddle across his knee and snaps it, or, according to some sources, he takes the fiddle and whacks it off the hangman's head and he breaks it. And then with the pieces that are broken, he throws it into the crowd and he goes,
"Wait, like
no
Mean
one Girls." Like Mean Girls, like the tiara. That is literally like, I was like hinting. I was like, this is kind of like Jesus breaking the bread, and it's also kind of like when Caddy breaks the tiara. So
your hair must have taken hours and it's just a messy bun.
So he throws the pieces of the fiddle into the crowd and then he goes, "No one else shall play Jamie Macpherson's fiddle, obviously." And the broken fiddle now lies in the Clan Macpherson Museum in Newton Moor, which the bus drives past it. Because I was like, I recognise the Clan Macpherson Museum in Newton Moor. Like, you can actually see it. Like, they have it. It's like a broken fiddle in a box. It doesn't look like it's been cracked or somebody's skull. It does look like the
knee.
Yeah, it looks like it's been snapped in half. I feel like if it was smashed or somebody's head, it would be like just the bottom bit would be like a bit dented. So he was then hanged, or according to some accounts, he threw himself for the ladder because he wanted to hang by his own will.
This diva.
Ken Hema said that it was Duffy Braco that like managed to get him executed. This was apparently the last capital sentence executed in Scotland under a heritable jurisdiction, aka a capital sentence made by a laird instead of the actual law. It is alleged that a pardon was en route to Banff during the time of Macpherson's execution. Legends state that Duffy Braco spotted a lone rider coming for Turriff and assumed that the rider bore a pardon for Macpherson for the Laird de Grant, his boyfriend, and Duff ran to the village clock and set it forward 15 minutes so that they would be able to execute him at the time he was meant to be executed before the pardon could arrive. The magistrates of the town were allegedly punished for this, and the town clock was kept 15 minutes before the correct time for many, many years. So Macpherson's lament, or rant, which he sang before his execution, has been written and rewritten by Scots heroes like Robert Burns and Walter Scott, and has turned into, in my opinion, one of the best Scottish folk songs, and the best version of which is by the Quarries, in my opinion. And I'm right.
I just have never heard this song.
I am going to put it into this episode. I'm going to put the whole thing in. What, like, are the Quarries going to sue me? I'll be doing them a favour. This kind of like way that he's been like put into folk music has kind of like made his life and death seem more like folklore than actual history. But I think the broken fiddle in Newton Moor Museum makes it feel more real to me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I'm shocked that exists, and also that Newton Moor has something like going on.
Newton Moor has Highland Games. Or is it King Usie that has the Highland Games?
I think it's just King Usie.
Like, obviously there's parts of this that seem like a wee bit more fiction than fact, but I think this is like a pretty credible story, and it's a wee bit more fun than Rob Roy. But Rob Roy and Jamie Macpherson are like constantly put together. Like, there's like sources that allege that they were like pals during this time, and I just like really didn't think that Rob Roy McGregor would like associate himself with a traveller. Like, I actually didn't.
Yeah.
And I didn't mean that in like a way where I think nobody should be associating with travellers. I mean that as in like, Rob Roy McGregor was probably a bit bigoted.
Yeah.
That's the story A. Macpherson's rant. So we'll play a wee bit of it at the end.
That was
Yeah, I've been wanting to do that one since we started this podcast. I was like last week when we were, or last episode, sorry. I was like, Liam, I want to go on my own next week just so I can like tell you this story that I'm excited about.
And I said, no work for me, I'm in.
But I'm just a wee short and sweet one this week. We're going to be doing the Ghost of Edinburgh Castle for the next episode.
Or Edinburgh. So, we're not like committing to the...
Aye, we're not like committing, just like in the Edinburgh area.
In the Edinburgh area, maybe four. We're no, we I'll won't go, like, we won't go past, like, say...
The Lanark. Royal Mail. Yeah, I'm like, there's plenty of ghosts just like on the Royal Mail. But aye, if you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at The Creepy Wee Pod. Instagram at The Creepy Wee Podcast, TikTok at The Creepy Wee Podcast, or you can visit our website, thecreepywepodcast.co.uk, and we're going to have merch coming out really, really soon.
Oh, are we? So.
There we ye dungeons dark and strong. The wretch's destiny. Macpherson's time will no be long. Any under gallows tree. It was by a woman's treacherous hand that I was condemned to die. She stood up in a windy ledge and a blanket.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.